This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Harvard University is in federal court in Boston today for the first day of the trial over its admissions policies. Students for Fair Admissions alleges that Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants. WBUR's Edify reporter Carrie Young is at the courthouse. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
So today was opening statements. Let's start with the attorney for the group Students for Fair Admissions. What did he say?
Well, it started out sort of with this statement of this is what this trial is about and this is what it's not about. And for them, they came out and said that this is not about affirmative action, that affirmative action is not on trial, and the benefits of affirmative action are not on trial. They are firmly focusing on the fact what they say is that Harvard is discriminating intentionally against Asian American applicants. And this opening statement, it lasted about an hour, and it really focused pretty heavily on a variety of statistical analyses to try and prove this point. First, they looked at academic qualifications of students because that is one rating that students are judged on when it comes to admissions. It showed that Asian American applicants, according to their analysis, were coming in the highest. And then another part that they focused on was that another rating, that personal score, that Asian American applicants were routinely getting lower personal scores than other ethnic groups. And personal scores they're not really based on something that's a number like a GPA or an SAT would be. It's things like personal essays, the letters of recommendation, even the amount of adversity you've faced in your life. But just to sort of break this down, I was looking at some of the plaintiffs' numbers as they were talking about them. And looking at that highest academic rating, they were saying that white students got about 29% higher. Asian American students came in at about 22%. That was below African-American and Hispanic applicants as well. So they spent a lot of time just talking about these numbers and why those held up.
And you're talking about personal scores there when you say that the 29% and the 22%.
Correct, yes.
I see.
Talking about the personal score versus how high they achieved academically.
I see. But Harvard also spoke today, the attorney for Harvard also spoke today, of course disagreed with the analysis of that data. What's the main issue that Harvard takes exception with?
Well, Harvard takes exception with the idea that they are intentionally discriminating against Asian American applicants. And they say, as far as like picking apart the numbers goes, they don't like that the Students for Fair Admissions analysis removed a sector of the applications pool, and that was legacy students, athletes, Dean's List, that kind of thing. That's about 29% of the applicant pool. And they say if you actually kept that part of the applicant pool in, then you would actually see that Asian American students were actually faring much better and that there was no difference, or at least not a negative effect like the plaintiffs are alleging. So they're saying you should have kept that in. The other argument they were making was that the plaintiffs are looking at 6 years of application data altogether, when Harvard says really you should be looking at it year to year, because someone who's applying in 2014 is not competing against someone who's applying in 2016.
So how many folks for Harvard spoke?
Well, you had Harvard's attorneys, and then you also, when it comes to opening statements, you had two amici presentations sort of outlining what the testimonies would be like that are coming up when it comes to other students who are supporting Harvard. It was a group of students, and I believe there will be four of them, just talking about what this race-conscious admissions policy has enabled them to do, why it's important, and how that you can't not factor in race when it comes to lived experience. And so not considering race is kind of saying that that's not your lived experience, was the argument that they were making. But then we had another group come up and talk about how, you know, maybe there is still more work that Harvard can be doing to make things a little bit more fair, but the way to get there is not to get rid of the race-conscious admissions policy. It's to keep moving forward on their efforts and not to just say, well, this isn't working, let's just start over.
So Students for Fair Admissions here, they began the questioning. What would you say was the main focus for them throughout the day?
Right. Well, so it was just an hour's worth of questioning that they were able to get to. And the first person that they talked to was Dean Fitzsimmons. He's over admissions. And what they really focused on at the beginning was looking at this invitation that goes out to people who take the PSAT and the SAT. Basically, if you score high enough, then you get this invitation to apply to Harvard. And so they were focusing in on the fact that, looking at rural states in particular, that an Asian American male had to score a 1380, I believe the number was, versus a white male had to score about 1310 to get one of those letters. And they said that that is racial discrimination. Dean Fitzsimmons' response to that was, actually, no, it's just that this was just a method of reaching out to people. That doesn't mean that we're discriminating when it comes to admissions. And he also was trying to explain that maybe that gets to people whose generation, who've lived in a rural state for generations, and that was sort of their way to do that.
Now, I know the arguments were wrapped up, what, 3 o'clock? So what's supposed to happen tomorrow?
We're going to be continuing with the questioning, and it will be Students for Fair Admissions who will be asking those questions for the next several days, I understand.
Okay. WBUR Edify reporter Carrie Young. Carrie, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And joining us in the studio now to talk further about this case is Dan Golden. He's senior editor at ProPublica and author of the book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So your book, which was published in 2006, was based on 2 years, right, of investigative reporting on your part. And you looked very closely at Harvard's admissions practices. And you did find that Harvard holds Asian American students to higher standards in admissions compared to other ethnic groups. Is that right? Tell us a little bit more about what you found there. Just remind people.
I did find that Asian American students, in a way, are being penalized for their excellence. And that for many years at that time, they had been just under 20% of students at Harvard, which seemed to amount to a kind of informal quota. And I compared their situation to that of Jewish students decades ago, overrepresented compared to their portion of the population, but underrepresented compared to what they should be based on their test scores and grades. And the students themselves were very conscious of it. I remember interviewing one Asian American young woman, very good test scores and grades. And when I complimented her, she said, no, that's an Asian fail. You know, I have to do better than that to get into the Ivy League because I'm Asian American. Mm. And there's very little doubt that that's the case. And the documents in this lawsuit support what I found in my book.
And also, I just want to say another thing that you brought up was, and this is actually cited by the plaintiffs in this case as well, and this are these ways that connected students could get into Harvard, these sort of hidden admissions ways that students could get into Harvard, the so-called Z-list and things like that. What was that?
That's right. I found there were several different ways that affluent white students get special treatment to Harvard. One of them is the Z-list, which is Harvard. What Harvard does is it waitlists a borderline student at a school and then waits a few months and then admits that student for the following year's class. And often this is a special program for children of alumni and donors. And that has been, again, substantiated in some of the documentation in this case. It's also turned out in this case, which I didn't know, that they have a sort of list of students of special interest to the admissions dean. And those also tend to be children of legacy of alumni and donors.
And so you would think that because you're cited here, your research is cited, that you would necessarily agree with the premise of this lawsuit.
I don't actually. I agree with part of the premise. I agree that Asian American students are being discriminated against. I'd characterize this lawsuit as right victim, wrong villain. This lawsuit attempts to use the mistreatment of Asian American applicants as justification to get rid of affirmative action, of preferences for black and Hispanic students. I think that a better solution would be to get rid of preferences for wealthy alumni children and children of donors and faculty and staff, what I called in my book the preferences of privilege. And legacies actually amount to quite a high percentage of Harvard student body, more than either blacks or Hispanics. And so I think this lawsuit is unfair in the way it plays off different minority groups against each other.
Even though, we just heard from Carrie Young, our reporter at federal court in Boston, even though the argument was that, the folks say this is not about affirmative action at all. This is about Harvard discriminating against Asian American students only.
They're being disingenuous. I mean, the same group that's brought this lawsuit at Harvard on behalf of Asian American students has brought other lawsuits against other universities on behalf of white students who didn't get in despite having very good records. And I've talked with the people at Students for Fair Admission, and this basically, it's not that they want to see Asian Americans be a much higher percentage of enrollment. They're using it as a cudgel because they think it's a strong weapon to get rid of affirmative action. And that's really the underlying issue in the case.
And a lot of folks have pointed to the man who's spearheading this, Edward Bloom. He's challenged affirmative action in the past. He was behind the other race-sensitive admissions policy lawsuit, Fisher versus University of Texas. You spoke with him. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a long conversation with him a couple weeks ago. And as I say, the impression I got is that his focus is on trying to get rid of race-based affirmative action. And he'll use whatever he thinks at a university is most susceptible to a challenge. At Harvard, it's the treatment of Asian American applicants. At other schools, it may be the treatment of white applicants or some other specific evidence. But it's clear to me he's not bringing this lawsuit in order to help Asian American students particularly. He wants to bring down affirmative action.
When you look at this case in particular and you look at this suit, and as we heard from Carrie, that happened in federal court today, and they talked about personal scores of Asian American students and that sort of unmeasurable quality that admissions officers can look for. And admissions officers argue we need to be able to consider that. Otherwise, we're only looking at test scores and we're only looking at grades, and there's more to a student than those kinds of things. Is there a better way for admissions officers to evaluate students in a way that could be fair and still have these unmeasurable qualities taken into account?
Well, let me answer that in a couple ways. First of all, I do think that there is a measure of stereotyping of Asian American students. And in my research from my book, one admissions dean at a top university described Asian American students as something like textureless grinds or faceless grinds, and kind of implying they were all alike, which of course is absolutely not true. And I think there is that kind of attitude, and that's what the plaintiffs are getting at. But of course, yes, it is very important to evaluate students not just on the basis of test scores and grades, but on their essential potential for academic achievement. And sometimes if a student doesn't go to a very good school, or if they've had illness or other challenges, their grades and their scores may not be reflective of their actual ability. And it's important to try and figure out what that potential is, not just their accomplishment, but what they could do in the right circumstances.
And also look at it big picture. What does your whole class look like? What does your community look like, right?
Well, I'm not sure how far I would go in that direction. I mean, I personally feel that universities should admit the students with the best ability and potential and record of achievement. And, if that means at a university that Asian American students make up, 40% of the class instead of 20%, I think that's fine.
So you think this is going to go to the Supreme Court? If not this case, then another case, because the affirmative action is going to go back before the U.S. Supreme Court. Would you say that?
I think that's quite likely. And I also feel that, Harvard could lose this case, but not necessarily with a decision that strikes down affirmative action. The courts have held in recent cases, as far as I could tell, that that universities have to exhaust race-neutral remedies, as they're called, before they use race-based affirmative action. And there doesn't seem to be much evidence of Harvard having made a serious effort to look at some race-neutral remedies, such as, for example, giving preference based on socioeconomics rather than race, or eliminating legacy preference would also be called a race-neutral example. So although it benefits whites, but it's a proxy. So I think the decision might well go along those grounds.
Hmm. Okay. Dan Golden, senior editor at ProPublica, Pulitzer Prize winner, and author of The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.